gonna be revival in the land. Worship God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Come alive. Hallelujah. My, my, my. There's revival here tonight. Praise God. It must have been in atmospheres like this that the lady with the issue of blood was healed and J.R.'s daughter was raised to life. Had to be in atmospheres like this. Amen. Where the Lord stopped a little funeral procession coming out of the city of Nain and raised a widow's son to life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I want to tell you something. Whatever you need tonight, God is here to perform that in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive in Jesus. Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive in Jesus' name. Well, come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive in Jesus. Everybody come alive. Come alive.
Come alive,
come alive in Jesus. Come alive,
come alive,
come alive,
come alive,
come alive in Jesus' name. Well, come alive,
come alive,
come alive,
come alive,
come alive in Jesus. Everybody, come alive. There was a funeral procession coming out of the city of Nain. A widow's only son in a little coffin's old plane. Then Jesus touched the bar and said, my son, arise. No sooner than he spoke these words than the boy came alive. Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive in Jesus. Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive in Jesus' name. Oh, come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive in Jesus' name. Everybody come alive. Well, God's not dead, as some men would declare. The mighty power of God is moving everywhere. Everything he touches is sent for a big surprise. For everywhere the Spirit moves, everything it comes alive. Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive
in Jesus. Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive in Jesus' name. Well, come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive in Jesus. Everybody come alive. Come alive in Jesus. Come alive in Jesus tonight. Come alive in Jesus right now. Come alive in Jesus. Come alive in Jesus. Come alive in Jesus. Everybody come alive. Well, God's not dead, as some men would declare. The mighty power of God, well, it's moving everywhere. And everything he touches is sent for a big surprise. For everywhere the Spirit moves, everything comes alive. Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive
in Jesus. Come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive in Jesus' name. Well, well, come alive.
Come alive.
Come alive in Jesus. Everybody come alive. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Been requested we sing this song also, and I believe it speaks the sentiments of our hearts. Worship as we sing it. Amen. Oh, I want to walk and talk with Jesus each and every day. I want my life to be an example for him. In every way, I want to treat my brothers the way that Jesus wants me to. Because he said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I want him to shower me with his blessing from up above. And then rock me and rock me and rock me in the cradle of his love. I want him to lead me and guide me in everything I say and do. In his service, I want him to choose me and use me like he knows to. What a wonderful captain of mine, the Prince of Peace. Is he? All I want each day is just a closer walk with thee. Because I love him, I love him, I love him, and I know he loves me. Oh, I said I love him.
I love him. I love him.
I love him.
I love him.
I love him.
I love him.
I love him.
I love him.
I love him.
I love him.
I love him.
Oh, yes, I do.
I love him.
And I know.
And I know.
Yes, I know.
And I know.
He loves me. I said, I love him.
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 Yes, yes. Oh, yes, I do.
And I know.
Well, I know.
And I know.
He loves me. And he's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother, my doctor, my lawyer, my savior, and my healer. And I know, yes,
I know,
he loves me. I gotta say it again, I love Jesus, I love him, I love him, yes, I love him, I love him, I love him. Oh, yes, I do, and I know, yes, yes, I know, he loves me. Oh, can I sing? I love him.
I love him.
I love him. Yes, I love him.
I love him.
I love him. Oh, yes, I do. And I know. Yes,
I know.
He loves me. Let me say again. I love him.
I love him.
I love him.
I love him.
I love him. I love him. Oh, yes. Yes, I do. And I know. Well, I know. Oh, he loves me. Well, he's my father, my mother, my sister, my brother, my doctor, my liar, my savior, my healer. And I know, yes, I know, he loves me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Give the Lord a mighty hand praise.
Coming down, down, down. Coming down, down, down. Yes, the glory of the Lord is coming down. When the saints begin to pray for the Lord to have his way, then the glory of the Lord is coming down. It's coming down, down, down. Down. Coming down. Down, down. Yes, the glory of the Lord is coming down. Oh, when the saints begin to pray for the Lord to have his way, then the glory of the Lord is coming down.
Praise God. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's come and down. The presence of God is in this place. Hallelujah. I want to read tonight from the book of Hosea, the 10th chapter. The 10th chapter. While you're turning there, I'd like to express our gratitude toward this church and supporting my wife and I with $75 a month, our partners in evangelism. And we're so grateful for that, and that money has really come in handy. And we count it a high privilege, high honor, that you would choose us, of all the evangelists on the field, to let us represent you in spreading the gospel. And we've tried to represent you with the best of our ability. And as a reward, I guess, for your giving and sacrifice, there have been souls come into the kingdom of God that you don't even know. You don't even know their name. But God filled them with the Holy Ghost because somebody could take this old blessed word and preach it. Amen. And so you're the result of many souls in the kingdom of God by your giving. I just want to say we appreciate that. Amen. Hallelujah. And I also want to ask this church to please remember us next week. We've been asked to preach the Crusaders camp, as you're all aware, and I don't know why they asked Joy and I, but they did, and I wasn't about to turn them down. But it's a hard job. I'm going to be looking at people that can just barely see over the pew. They're just young kids, 8 to 11 years old. But you know, I got the Holy Ghost when I was 10 years old, and I've had it ever since. So hope I can say something to those kids, those young people, I better say, that'll cause them to want the Holy Ghost, because it can shape their life for an eternity. Amen. And if it's just one soul that got the Holy Ghost, it'd be worth the whole youth camp to me, especially if it was your child. Amen. So we appreciate your prayers and your support in the camp. Amen. I want to read tonight from Hosea, the 10th chapter. I want to read with verse 11. Verse 11 of Hosea, the 10th chapter. And Ephraim is as a heifer that is taught, and loveth to tread out the corn. But I passed over her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. I want to take from verse 11, I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break up his clods. Amen. Let's just ask God to have his way in this service, in this sermon. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you. God, we come before you. Please move in this place, Lord, with the mighty power. Touch hearts and souls that are here, Lord, and let us all, dear Jesus, worship the name and anoint me, dear God, as I preach. In the lovely name of Jesus, hallelujah. We all said amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Well, it looks like from this text that I've got myself over on farmer territory. And this Hosea, evidently he knew a little bit about plowing and breaking up the ground, planting and reaping the harvest. And I thought, as God laid this on my heart, all the times that I said, and we've been in revival, a lot of times the opening night, and I'd say, well, if you've never seen a real live hillbilly, look up here. You're looking at one, because I are one. Kind of give the impression that I was a country boy. But after I got to studying this text, and I found out I wasn't near as country as I thought I was. Didn't know much about farming as I thought I did. But evidently Hosea did. I'll never forget one of the first lessons I learned on my first trip to the farm. And that was, you never walk through the barn lot barefooted. That's just something. that's just something you learn not to do after the first time. Second time, you'll wear your sneakers where you can sneak around and past and over. Heard something about tiptoeing through the tulips. I was tiptoeing, but it wasn't through tulips. I learned how to feed the chickens and slop the hogs and bale hay, and that's about as far as my farming abilities went. Amen. But I saw in this text the old man of God, he looked upon Israel and he saw their heart. He compared their heart to a field that hadn't been broken up in a long time. He said, break up your fallow ground. Israel's spirituality was on a low ebb. It was corrupted, and they was worshiping idols. They had turned from God, and as Hosea was preaching to them that day, he was saying, it's time, Israel, that you break up your fallow ground. And this fallow ground is uncultivated ground. And it's ground that won't produce a harvest, but where a harvest once stood, it has now in its place crabgrass and Johnson grass and bitter weeds and tumbleweeds and cuckleburrs. And you can't get a harvest out of that. There's nothing worse harvesting. And as Hosea saw Israel's heart and away from God, he said, it's time that you get back to God. And the only way you can do that is for your heart to be broken. It's the only way you can get to God and where he can plant seeds of love and peace and righteousness in your heart. The only way it can be done is if your heart's plowed up. You just can't go out here and throw seed on the ground that hasn't been plowed and expect to reap a harvest. It won't work, because all the other weeds and will overtake it and choke it out. And he's saying, if you're going to get back to God in that place that you was, Israel, Then you need to plow up your heart. You need to break up your soil. And as he began to point out the tribes of Israel, he pointed to Ephraim. And he said, you've been like a little heifer and that is not used to plowing. You've just been in the harvest field, just treading out the corn. And they couldn't plow with the heifer. It's just a young cow. It's usually a cow that hasn't calved. He hasn't matured and he's not developed and he's not big enough to pull a plow. And so they used the little heifers in the harvesting yard where they'd separate the chaff from the grain. And a little cow could eat any time he wanted to. And God was saying to Israel, Ephraim, you're just like a little cow, but I can use you. I'll get you used to the yoke. You can carry the yoke around in the harvest yard. But I looked as he turned to Judah. It seemed like he put a big responsibility on Judah. And he said, Judah, you shall plow. And I haven't farmed much like I told you, but I know one thing. Farming's hard work. And plowing, I guess, is one of the hardest jobs of the whole farm, to break over that soil, dig that plow down in the ground. And I thought, my, it looked like that God was picking on Judah and giving them the biggest responsibility of bringing a nation back to God. Turn to Ephraim, to Israel, and said, you're going to do the harrowing and going to break up the rough places. But I looked at this, Judah shall plow, and I thought, what a responsibility. Because that's the only way that God was going to be able to produce anything good out of Israel, was to get the heart broken up. And, hallelujah, break up the soil. And I began to chain reference that word Judah. And it led me back to Genesis, the 29th chapter. And I picked up Jacob as he'd got the birthright from Esau. And he fled for his life. And he came to his mother's brother's country. And there he fell in love with Laban's daughter Rachel, and he decided the agreement with Laban was to work 7 years and to marry Rachel. And after 7 years, instead of getting Rachel, he got Leah, Rachel's sister, whom he didn't love, and he worked another 7 years and got Rachel. But Rachel was barren, and Leah wasn't the one that was loved so much. Jacob loved Rachel more, but she produced to Jacob children, and the first child came, and the second, and still she hadn't won the love of Jacob's heart. And the third and then the fourth came. And that fourth boy that was born to Jacob from Leah, Leah thought sure she would win the heart and the love of Jacob. And she said, well, now I will praise the Lord because the Lord has given me a fourth son. And surely this will bring the love of my husband to me more than to my sister. And so she named the boy Judah. Well, the Bible says there in Genesis 29:35, she said, I will now praise the Lord, and therefore calling his name Judah. And that word Judah means praise. Hallelujah. And I can see Hosea as he walked through a nation that was without God. Hallelujah. And what this was really, or actually saying, or what he could have said as he preached to that nation, he's going to say, oh, if you need to get back to God, and that fallow ground's got to be broken up. Hallelujah. You forget about all your trained heifers and all your know-how and begin to worship God. And when you begin to praise God, amen, praise will plow. Praise will turn over your heart. Praise will dig a furrow right down the middle of your soul. It'll turn over all the Johnson grass and the bitter sweet weeds and the crabgrass and the chuckleberries. And God will rain righteousness, hallelujah, upon you and from your heart. Instead of bitterness and hatred and jealousy and strife, will come peace and joy and righteousness and godliness, hallelujah. Amen. I want to tell you something, friend. There's a lot of folks in the world today. Their heart is hardened, and all they have in their heart is hatred and jealousy and strife and envy. There's no peace, no joy. And they don't really know how to get to God. Their heart is hardened, and their lands are eroded, and their lives are tore up. But if we could take from this word, Judah shall plow, and if we could preach, praise shall plow. I want to tell you something tonight. If you need your heart right with God, if there's some desire in you that says my heart needs to be broken up, if tears need to find a way down your cheek, and if your heart needs to
travail before God. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, worship will do it. And praise the Lord. We'll get a lot of work done. Amen. Hallelujah. I got to thinking about this. And I thought about us in our Christian living. How often we have our trained prayers, you know. When we sit down to the dinner table, we don't really plan to really get in with God. But we got us a little prayer that really can't do much plowing, really stirring up the soul. But it can do a little work, you know. And you sit down to the meal. You think you're going to be called on to pray. You pretty well got you already a prayer thought up. You know, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this food and this day. And bless the food to the nourishments of our bodies and our bodies to your servants. And bless us. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah. You called up one of them trained prayers. You got an Ephraim prayer in there. Just a little heifer prayer to help you out. Amen. When you kneel down at night to say your prayers, you don't. Really, a lot of times, if you be honest, you don't really plan to get involved in an all-night prayer meeting. And so what you do, you have that, you know, pretty well memorized. Dear God, thank you for this day and keep us safe tonight. You know, you get the job done. But, hallelujah, I've seen the same thing happen in people's heart that hallelujah, needed their heart to be broken. And I want to tell you those trained prayers. Hallelujah, they'll get you by for the dinner table, and they'll get you by a lot of times for your midnight prayer or your bedtime prayer. But oh, when you're needing something from God, hallelujah, there's nothing like just praising the Lord and thanking Him for His goodness and His mercy. That'll do a lot for you. It'll break up your heart, and where tears haven't flowed, they'll begin to flow. And where happiness hasn't been felt, it'll begin to be felt. And where joy hasn't been, there'll become a dance when you begin to praise the Lord, because praise will apply. Praise will plow you right on through the throne room. Praise will plow right up to the throne of God. Praise will get God's attention, and He'll turn on the waterworks and begin to bless your soul. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yeah. I want to tell you something. That praise, it'll get you somewhere. And I thought of Israel after they come through the wilderness and stood up against Jericho. We know how they had to march around the city. We're aware of that. But I want you to notice that after they had marched one time for 6 days and seven times the last days, that the wall still hadn't fell. That was a hard place to break through on. I might be stepping out on a limb, but I don't really know if all that marching was necessary for Israel. I think that was a test of their faith. And they had to do that part on faith, because I begin to read that Joshua, about the sixth chapter in verse 20. It said that when Israel made a mighty shout, it was then that the walls fell down. They won a victory that day. I don't think they just got out there and hollered and screamed to the top of their lung, but after they had marched and the trumpeters began to blow at the trumpet and the people began to shout, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Those old thick walls couldn't stand it no longer. Those barriers began to crumble down when Israel began to praise the God in whom they serve. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And hallelujah. And Paul and Silas in prison at midnight. They was locked in the inner prison. Hallelujah. I don't know if they tried to get out or not, but I'm sure they sure considered it. They probably looked at the window and checked the door to make sure it was still good and locked. And no doubt they looked at those chains that was around their ankles and around their wrists. Hallelujah. Maybe they thought of every way of escape, but they couldn't find any. But boy, I want to tell you something. About midnight, the Bible says that when everything else had failed, when they had tried all the locks and they had rattled their chains, hallelujah, they had to be set free. They was going to die the next day. It says about midnight that Paul and Silas prayed and they sang praises. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, I don't think that prison was accustomed to hallelujahs. I don't think those padlocks was accustomed to praise the Lord. I don't think those jail bars was used to hearing, "Well, blessed be the name of God." Hallelujah. But when they begin to praise the Lord, in that inner prison that they were locked in, the padlock couldn't stay locked no more, and the bars couldn't stay solid anymore. Hallelujah. And the floor began to shake when they began to praise the Lord. Praise began to plow. Praise began to plow. And they were set free because they plowed with praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Everybody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I just feel like praising the Lord tonight.
Praise.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. Amen. There might be some of you that feel like you're bound by things of the world. Seem like you're locked in a cell. Seem like there's no way of escape. And you don't really know what to do. You've prayed all the prayers you know how to pray. All the forgive me, Lords, and I'll try to do better, Jesus's. You've tried all those prayers. You've tried all the Our Fathers which art in heaven. You've tried everything, but it seemed like you're still locked up. But I want to tell you tonight, praise can plow for you. If you can just begin to praise the Lord, the things that's got you bound, they have to flee. Those cigarettes can't stand up to somebody that begins to praise the Lord. They have to go. And alcoholism, it can't hold you very long when you begin to praise the Lord. Your heart begins to break up, and tears begin to flow, and God begins to put in seeds of love and goodness and mercy and kindness when you praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Can you say praise the Lord? Can you say hallelujah? Goodbye, devil, goodbye. Well, the devil can't stand it no longer. When we begin to praise the Lord, hard hearts can't take it much longer. When they begin to praise the Lord, walls can't stand it much longer. When you begin to praise the Lord, and jail cells can't stay locked very long. When you begin to praise the Lord. I guess I get so excited about this because I've seen it work in the past. I forget a revival here a while back. A black church came over while we was in revival, and they brought a young man with them that needed the Holy Ghost, and he was a big guy, and he had a hard look on his face. You could tell he'd been involved in a lot of sin, and his old heart, it was so hard. I thought, dear God, I'm going to take a keg of dynamite to touch that boy's heart. But after the sermon that night, they come to the altar, and I'll never forget. They shook up the white folks of man. They just stood over on one side of the building. But they gathered around that poor boy they brought to the altar, that big old sinner. And that little group of black folk began to pray around him. And they began to say, in Jesus' name. They didn't kneel down, and somebody didn't scream in his ear, say, thank you, God, and forgive me of all my sins. Nobody told him that. Nobody told him to call in a little said prayer. Nobody told him, you know, what to do. They just gathered around him and began to say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. I got tickled. They got to going up and down, up and down. And while one was saying, Holy Ghost going down, the one beside him was saying, in Jesus' name, coming up. And they was going up and down. Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. The whole church was watching them. I said, man, I'm getting in on this. I went over there. I caught myself going up and down. Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. I want to tell you something, though. Hallelujah. They begin to praise God like that. You can begin to feel God moving. And in about 5 minutes of that, that big old boy jumped off of that altar, began to shout across the front and back and forth, speaking in tongues as God had given the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, they plowed with praise. They plowed with praise. And it broke his heart. And it set him free. And it made him new. Amen. Just praising the Lord. Just praising the Lord. just praising the Lord. Amen. There's a certain fella in a revival here a while back. He went deaf when he was 3 years old, and he come to me, and he's talking on his hands, and I couldn't understand him. And so he told his wife what he wanted, and she told me, and he told me that he could read my lips while I preached. Of course, the poor guy was dizzy after church the way I preached. I noticed he was kind of standing, wasn't standing very still. But he told me, he said, I want the Holy Ghost. He said, I tried for it about 3 months ago and I couldn't get it. He said, so I went back to my habits. They had a hold on me. I'm back to smoking and drinking, and said, oh, wish I could be set free. I looked at a hard heart, an uncultivated heart. And I said, well, I want you to just come to the altar tomorrow night and get the Holy Ghost. He'd read my lips. He didn't come that night or the next, but about three nights he couldn't take it anymore. He'd come down the altar and knelt down, and he just looked at me. And I just said, well, say praise the Lord. Amen. I'll never forget, the church gathered around, and one began to scream in one ear, hang on, hang on. And a fellow knelt down beside him on the other side and was saying in that ear, turn loose, turn loose, turn loose. Hang on and turn loose. And he couldn't hear a word they were saying. He's just as deaf as he could be. So I just said, well, say praise the Lord. And he began in his own way to say praise the Lord. You couldn't understand it. It was just more like hang on, hang on. He could kind of form the words. And when he got tired of saying hang on, hang on, he looked at me again. I said, well, say hallelujah. I didn't see like there's much need in yelling. He couldn't hear me anyway. He was reading my lips, so I said, say hallelujah. So he began in his way, hallelujah, hallelujah. He couldn't pronounce the word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But he meant it from his heart. Hallelujah. And after a while, I didn't feel nothing, but he looked at me again, and I just said, well, say, I love you, Jesus. And he began to try to say, I love you, I love you, I love you. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, he stood up and raised them hands, and big old tears began to flow. Nobody could understand what he was saying, but he was saying, and he began to spin around and around and around, and he fell flat on his back. And when he hit the floor, he began to speak in tongues like I never heard anyone ever speak in tongues. It was so beautiful. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. His wife told me after church that he went to the altar and prayed the same prayer over and over. Forgive me my drinking and forgive me my smoking and all my sinful habits. But I want to tell you, one night he left a little heifer prayer at home, and he began to plow with praise. And when he did, he broke through to that holy realm with God. I want to tell you something. Praise will plow. Praise will plow. Praise will plow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We preached a revival here the other night in a church. My, it was a fancy church. I felt so out of place. One old kid, I was trying to preach to all them folks. Man, it was a Cadillac church. I guess if you can call them that. It had everything you ever wanted in it. Why, it had a real fancy carpet and real fancy pews. Had chandeliers, man, and beautiful. The pastor told me that in 1978, when they put the chandeliers in there, cost them $800 a piece. They had about 9 or 10 of those chandeliers. They said they got the crystal from Germany, and they shipped the gold in from somewhere else, and they had to put together their own chandeliers and all the crystal work and the gold and hang them up themselves. And the choir loft, they had all kind of microphones that come out of the ceiling, and there's a lot of wealthy folks in that church. And they drove up in their fine cars and wore their fine clothes, and nothing against that. I'm not preaching against that, but I sit on that platform and I watch those folks come in and sit so dignified and their beautiful church. But there's a little fellow that stuck out of my mind. I guess I'll never forget him. He come in that back door and really, I didn't feel anything. I want to tell you something. God's not too impressed so much with the chandeliers and the size of our building. He's just interested in the size of your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. And that little man come in. As soon as he walked in the back door, his hands went up. And he went up, stayed up all the way down the aisle. And he was just thanking God. And He'd come to the altar, and I noticed he didn't have on a fancy suit like a lot of his brothers there. He didn't drive a fancy car, I noticed later, and he didn't really wear all that nice of clothing or have that well-to-do look, and his hair wasn't styled and neat and nice, but I watched him as he come, and he raised the hands and began to praise God, and I began to feel something, and during the service, he went back, and he sat down about midway back, and all through the service, when nobody else was clapping or nobody else was worshiping God, you'd see him back there clapping. You'd see his hands in the air. And boy, God would begin to bless him. And nobody else would have tears in their eyes. And nobody else would be stirred. But that little man would be speaking in tongues and worshiping God and crying. And God was really blessing him. And when he would pray in the altar, those he'd pray with, God would really bless them and touch them. And I know some of you wonder, well, Russell, what's so unique about a man in a Pentecostal service that raises his hands and claps them when no one else does? The unique thing about that was that somewhere on the job, that man had had an accident and got his arms caught in a press. And they chopped both of his arms off at the elbow. All that man had for hands was two metal hooks. But when he come in that door, there were a lot of folks that had a lot of wealth in him and had a lot of goods that he didn't have, but I think he had something they had never felt. Those metal hooks would go in the air. Those metal hooks would stand there all the way down the aisle and to the altar. And back at the pew, you'd hear the clicking of two metal hooks as he worshiped God. And as he was raised, those hooks in the air, God would begin to bless him. And God began to move in that place when that man would worship God. I want to tell you something. Praise will plow. Praise will plow. Praise will plow. You might have been praying the same prayers over and over. You might have your prayers trained. But I'd like to just tell you tonight, if you want something from God that'll break you up from deep within, just begin to praise Him and worship Him and adore Him. It'll plow. Hallelujah. Here I stand tonight. Hallelujah. And if God can understand, praise God, praise God. If He can understand, hallelujah, hallelujah. If He can understand, hallelujah. Here I stand with the perfect hearing, and I got a good voice and an intellect. Surely God can understand. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Here I stand, I got two hands. I don't have metal hooks tonight. I got two hands, and surely my hands can praise the Lord. Surely my hands can praise the Lord. Surely I can praise the Lord.